This is On The Mark. Pleased to be joined by one of the greatest fighters of all time, the former UFC light heavyweight champion. He defended his title five times, of the Hall of Famer, the famous Mohawk, Chuck Liddell, joining On The Mark. Chuck, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. And I'm curious, as you're kind of moving into this next phase of your life here, you know, what do you see as next for you, and how are you sort of creating the excitement, the passion that you had when you were, you know, had clear structure of stepping into the octagon?
Well, you know, that was the hard thing coming at retiring, you know, and choosing to retire. Is just, you know, they had that one goal your whole life. You always had that thing coming up the next time, next week, next month, whatever. And all of a sudden, you didn't really have to do anything. You know, and then I had the job with the UFC. And so I was just kind of cruising, you know. And then when they sold, and when I was let go, now it feels like I got to find something to do. So, you know, I'm having fun actually trying to figure out what exactly does drive me, what I like and what I don't like. And it's been a cool ride, so.
And everyone wants to know, Chuck, are you going to come back? Are you going to fight again? And I, you know, listen to you talk, it seems like you still have that itch to get in there, because, I mean, there's nothing else in life that can bring you that level of excitement, passion, the whole thing.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, you know. I'll always love fighting. I loved every part of it. I love training. I love getting ready for the fight. I even like cutting weight and getting down, making weight and getting ready for the fight, because always had that thing in the back of my mind. It meant, okay, it's game time. You know, so, you know, I think a couple of people asked me about Son and things. I mean, I haven't seen what he said. I don't know exactly what he said, but he said I was offered the fight with him, which is not true. No one's offered me anything. But if he wants to keep running his mouth, they get the number up high enough, I'll come out there and slap him. You know. He's not gonna like fighting me. He's not gonna lay him pretty on top of me. So he's gonna have to see if he can walk through my punches.
What type of toll would you say the game has taken on you physically, mentally? I mean, do you feel? I mean, how much different do you feel today, I guess, than how you felt maybe 20 years ago?
Well, what I put my body through, I'm pretty blessed. I feel great. I'm still able to do everything. I'm not here waiting to play tennis right now. So I'm still able to do everything, run around. I'm still lifting. I still train. Everything's holding together pretty well.
How's the tennis game, Chuck? What do you got going on there? That's interesting.
My tennis game, I just started playing, so it's not the best, but there's a lot, like anything else I do, there's a lot of hustle. There's a lot of, sorry, way too much movement, way too much running around and jumping and diving. But I try to win at anything I do. So, but I am learning. I'm trying to learn too. I'm just not out here flailing, but it's pretty much flailing for a little while, I'm sure.
Well, this is not why we're here today, but I'm offering my service here, Chuck. I mean, I play all the time, and I would be very afraid to get anywhere close to you as far as the octagon. But on the tennis court, I'm willing to offer my services. We can get it going, and it's a great sport. I think it's a great activity for you.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun. A good way to get some exercise in.
Yeah. Has Bellator approached you at all?
I mean, I've had talks with them about promoting, doing some signings and stuff like that for them, but I haven't had an offer from Bellator now.
Okay. Would you want one? Does that interest you?
Like I said, they come up with enough money. I got no problem coming back. And okay. They got a couple guys that would have no problem fighting.
Fair enough. What were your thoughts on watching Mayweather and McGregor go at it, and just the whole scene and how much interest that thing generated?
Well, I think McGregor did a great job. I mean, for the first ever boxing match, because you got to understand, like, a lot of people that haven't done it, even, like, I've boxed, I've done kickboxing, the MMA. Timing, distance, everything changes each step. So when you're boxing to kickboxing, your stance, your timing, the way you throw things changes a little bit. You go from kickboxing to MMA, it changes again. So coming all the way from MMA to boxing is a long move. And man, against one of the best ever, you know, Conor did great. I was impressed.
Did you think that was good for the sport in general?
Yeah, I think it was great for the sport.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think they'll grab some of those fans from boxing. They'll come over and watch the next fight in MMA. And maybe you have some more boxing fans try MMA out, and because I think once they try it, they're going to like it. They're going to enjoy the fights.
Did you?
One interesting side note, though, did you notice that two of the boxing judges had Conor losing rounds 2 and 3?
Yeah, what do you read into that?
That was a little ridiculous. it's what I expected from boxing judges. I was surprised he had one of the judges had him. One of the judges gave him those 3 rounds.
Yeah, if you were advising boxing in general, as far as getting out of that whole realm where you're talking about, where people just don't trust the sport and don't trust how it's judged and don't trust a lot of the characters around it. I mean, what would your suggestion be, if any?
That's a problem. You know that judging is a tough thing. It's not easy. You know, especially even for MMA, even harder because there's so many different elements. You got to decide how much weight this weighs and how much that weighs and that. Is that worth something? Is that worth something? So, you know, it's not easy. But, I mean, you know, when some of these people, you wonder what fight they're watching.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I watched an Ultimate Fighter fight where they went to overtime. If you watch Ultimate Fighter, you know, it's 2 rounds, and if it's a tie, they go to overtime. Well, in the overtime, these guys are gassed, I think. One guy threw 5 punches that round. The other guy didn't throw any. It was all on the feet. One of the judges had the guy that didn't throw a punch or do a thing in that round winning. I'm like, what? I really wanted to sit down with that judge, watch it on the screen, and have him explain to me what fight he was watching, how that guy won the round. It'd be kind of fun.
Maybe you just like dancing.
Maybe. You never know.
Hey, how'd you get the nickname the Iceman? Where did that come from?
I mean, my trainer, John, gives everybody nicknames, for one. Two, it was like my third or fourth fight. And John was a professional kickboxer, professional boxer, amateur boxer. He had like over 200 amateur fights, all army boxing team. A bunch of fights. He said he got nervous before every single fight. And it was about my fourth and fifth fight. And we're in a strong bowl arena in Bakersfield. And they had a report in at 5, and my fight was going to be like 9. So John's all, I'll tape you around 8 o'clock. And he went looking for me. And he couldn't find me. He's like, what happened? Where'd Chuck go? He's looking around. He finally finds me, and I'm laying in a corner, my head on a tie pad, sleeping. And after that, he called me Iceman after that because I just don't get nervous before fights. But for me, it was always the reason I don't get nervous before fights. I don't think it doesn't do me any good. Like, you know, leading up to the fight, I get trained, I do everything I'm supposed to do leading up to the fight. And once fight week starts, it's over. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing worrying about. It's not going to be any good, and it might do you some detriment. So I don't worry about it. I go out there and have fun. That's my reward. I worked really hard to get there. That actual fight night is my reward.
Well, that's a skill right there, Chuck. I mean, you're talking about putting everything into it every day so you can have some peace. And then, I mean, you had to have learned that somewhere. I don't know if you had a mentor along the way that...
Well, I, you
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of my way of taking, I kind of put it towards like the way I take tests. Like I used to, you know, I'd cram, I'd study until that test started. And then I relaxed and just did it. I don't worry about it anymore. Just relax and did it. And I always overperformed on my tests. Like I did better than I should have. You know, better than I thought I was going to do. It was one of those things, like being relaxed and calm. And I think a lot of it came from my grandfather to my mom. You know, it's one of those things. It's like I've never been afraid of a man in my life, because if you commit a fighting offense, it's on. I don't care if you're 6'8", 400 pounds, or 5 foot, nothing, 100, nothing. You do something, you deserve to get punched. It's on. You know, there's nothing, no reason to worry about it. I'm not, you know, get nervous about it. It's not, it doesn't help. It doesn't do me any good.
Your mom was big in getting you into fighting. Is that true?
Well, my mom was actually, how it started, well, it's a long story, but, you know, it was one of those things where I was getting picked on at school. They were taking my lunch money, kind of funny. I always think that's kind of funny. So they were taking my lunch money and beating me up because I wouldn't give it to them. I'd make them take it. But I wasn't allowed to hit them back because my mom told me she didn't believe in violence. You're not allowed anybody for any reason. And actually, the principal of the school, I think he was the principal, but anyway, he came to my mom and he brought her in because he asked me why I wouldn't fight back, and I said, I'm not allowed to. And so brought my mom in, and my mom told my mom, hey, you know, I think it's wonderful what you're doing with the nonviolent thing yourself, but hey, if you don't let this kid defend himself, I can't watch him all the time. And they're going to bail on him every day. So my mom took me to my grandfather and said, son, I don't want you to ever start a fight, but you can go ahead and finish it if you want. And my grandpa started teaching me how to fight, and the rest is history. I, you know, he was telling me I was going to be a world champion when I was 19. You know, he told me I could beat Mike Tyson when I was 19. It was pretty funny. I started laughing. But I think it's kind of funny that would be an actual question. Who do you think would win in the fight?
And your answer?
Well, MMA, I will. Street fight, I will. I don't think I want to box him, but, you know, if they pay enough money, I might do that too.
Where'd your grandfather get the skill to teach you what he taught you? Because obviously he knew what he was doing.
Well, my grandfather was from the Army from growing up. He's a sheriff. He grew up tough from bookies from Brooklyn.
Yeah. Were you
it was always fun too. I started taking martial arts when I was 12, and my grandpa was always trying to think of ways to use it in the street. Like how to sneak in extra punches or how to trick people. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Why were these kids picking on you back in the day, Chuck?
I think that, you know, I'm getting a long time ago. So
yeah, of course.
I was really young, but my mom told me this, so I don't remember much of it. But, I'm in Santa Barbara, so it's not like I was at a poor area. You know, the school was the majority was Mexican, and I was white, so mm-hmm. you know, wannabe gang guys, they could give me out candy to go do things for them, and I'd come up and want to get the candy, and they said, nope, sorry. I think it's one of the things. They start probably trying it one day, and it worked, and I wasn't fighting back, made it easy. I kept doing it.
I'm just curious, and we'll move on from here. But were you scared back then? I mean, that's a big move all of a sudden.
No.
Yeah, you weren't.
It depends on the way I remember is my grandfather's. Hey, they were doing it anyway. And I look back at it now and I think, you know, the cool thing is for me, you guys beat me up to take my money. I wouldn't give it to them. They had to take it. Even though I wasn't fighting back, I still wasn't going to give it to them. It wasn't theirs.
Chuck, I would have run, for the record, just if we're talking about me. I would have had my track shoes on. What's the coolest thing you've done since MMA?
The coolest thing I've done.
I mean, you've been involved in so many things. I'm just curious, like what stands out for you?
Man, it's hard. You know, I was on The Simpsons. That was cool. Entourage was my favorite show. I did that on that. What else? I like that commercial I did for AutoZone. Those commercials are sick, man. The CGI on there and all that stuff, it was pretty funny.
I like the Miller Lite spot.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, those are awesome, too. That was a lot of fun for the shoot. It was awesome to work with.
Can you see yourself still pursuing more in the entertainment industry if that's there for you?
Oh, for sure. I enjoy it. I mean... And every time I go out and do a new movie, a new set, something new, I learn. So it's something, I want to be good. If I'm going to do it, I want to get good at it. So I'm working at it and trying to get better and better at it every time.
Yeah. Let's talk more as far as your preparation when you were getting ready for a fight. I'm just curious, and I think people are curious. What was the standard day for you to get ready to take on whoever your opponent was going to be? I mean, what did that look like?
It depended on what day it was. You know, we usually get up in the morning. First thing was at John's place about 11 o'clock. We go out and spar and do our striking training. And then you have the strength and conditioning portion. It's about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and we did wrestling in between there somewhere. Just depending on if we're doing wrestling, who the partners were, where we're going to be, where we're meeting at. So it all depends.
What were your tricks for cutting weight, if you can let us in on that one?
I didn't have any real tricks. I stay well hydrated. I dieted down to about 8-9 pounds over, and I did plastics for the last 8 to 10 pounds, and it usually didn't take much to get it off. I was down to science by the end.
Yeah, yeah. Were you surprised when you got the?
I did mess up once and ended up when I fought Steve Heath in IFC, where I had to cut 19.5 pounds in one day.
Oh my
and
God!
And it was a day of weighing too. I had to fight that night. I weighed in at 12 and had to fight that night. And they wouldn't even let me weigh in early. Like, I was ready to sit down at 11, 15, and then it made me wait 45 more minutes. Well, I was like, you guys are killing me.
So you cut 19.5 pounds in how long?
Well, I started, 10 o'clock the night before, and by, 14 hours total.
That's intense. That's intense. And did you win that fight? I forget.
Yeah. I took him in the face.
Wow.
That's a good knockout if you want to look at one.
Yeah. When you heard the news on John Jones and the performance enhancing drugs, were you surprised, disappointed? What was your reaction?
I really wasn't surprised with the stuff I'd been seeing with he'd got caught for whatever that other stuff was.
Right.
And then, I wasn't surprised. It is what it is. Disappointed. I want to see him fight. I want to see those fights. I don't want, whatever.
Yeah. Do you think PEDs should be legal? Like, let anybody do whatever they can to be as strong as they can. Let's go from there.
I don't think so. But and I think the way they're doing it now, they're trying, really trying as hard as they can to catch him, that and making penalties that make you pay for it. You know, that promotes people not using that. I mean, when they were doing the TRT exemptions, I thought that was completely unfair. You know, because if you're gonna let them do it, you might as well just let everyone do it. You know, that at that point, I had an argument for everyone.
Yeah.
If you're going to let certain people, because they have low testosterone, do it, usually the guys that have the fighters that have low enough testosterone, that need testosterone replacement, have that problem for a reason. They were abusing steroids in the first place.
Right, right.
So,
were you ever tempted?
We're tested all the time.
No, tempted yourself.
Oh, tempted.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about it. You know, I didn't really have too many people around me that believed in it, so I didn't know much about it.
Okay. Regular life right now, you're out at a restaurant, you're out at a bar. Do guys come up to you and try to go all tough guy, or is that are people a little wiser than that?
I haven't had that problem ever. I mean, I just want to say, like, people typically don't do that to me. They haven't. I mean, guys that come up like that, or come up to boxers and do that, they think, oh, boxing's not street fighting, or guys that are good at jiu-jitsu or something. Oh, that's not a street fight. Me, I'm known as a heavy puncher and a street fighter, a brawler. And most people think that, you know, most of the guys who would do that are fans of mine anyway. So, you know, it's like...
They'd rather have a selfie.
So it hasn't been a problem. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Weight classes right now, they go 125, 135, 145, you know, all the way in up. Some people think a temporary fix to weight cutting would be a 165-pound weight class and moving to 170 and then to 175, perhaps even a 195, more weight classes.
No, that's not going to – that. I think that will make people try to make it a little bit lower. You're going to get guys trying to make it a little bit lower, not move them up.
Okay. You know, Kevin Lee, you know, lost the UFC 216. He's advocated for the 165-pound class. You're not there, though.
But to me, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you're going to have somebody, now the guy's just trying to cut 5 more pounds, all the 170 pounds, and it's like, I'm not at 65.
Yeah.
These guys need to make their class, make your weight class. Or fight up. Fight the next pitch weight up. It's not, you know, if you can't make that weight, then you shouldn't be fighting up that weight.
Let's wrap up.
I think, honestly, with that, if you punish them for not making weight, at least by a significant margin, you know, by 4 or 5 pounds, 3, 4, 5 pounds, by not letting them fight at all, you know, so they went to a full camp without getting paid. They could do all the fun. That'll teach them not to do it again. But you let these guys come in. Guys come in like way over, and then the guy says, "Okay, I'll fight him anyway because he wants to fight." And then they fight heavy, and then where's the incentive next time to make weight? I mean, it's a 20% shavings on your purse. I think it used to be. I don't know what it is now, but I mean, it's. There's not enough. They should, if you don't make weight, you don't fight. You don't just move up a class and fight there.
So you don't see that changing because of the almighty dollar?
Oh, yeah, I don't see that changing to the almighty dollar. And I wouldn't want it to change either. Like, I mean, it would piss me off, but I'd be, fine, let's go. You know, if you make weight, all right, fine, whatever. But, you know... I don't know, some of these ones where the guys show up 8 pounds, 9 pounds over, it's like, you didn't even try. You knew you weren't going to make weight before you came here today. Because you could have came to me and told me, hey, I'm not going to make weight, let's fight up a weight. So so I at least wouldn't do my cut, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you know you're going to, if you miss by 9 pounds, you really want to make it. At least come to me and say, hey, man, can we set up a weight? You know?
Yeah. Let's wrap up here. When you look back and the head hits the pillow at the night and you're thinking about, you know, one of your favorite fights, which one do you think about the most?
Well, the Randy after the Ultimate Fighter, the second Randy fight, you know, I got the knockout, I got the title, you know. And I won the way I like to win, by knockout, and I managed to lose.
All right. Hang on 1 second here. Hey, so can you talk about the MVP and your what you're doing in the show?
Yeah. The MVP is a digital series brings top athletes and aspiring brands together, and for the first of its kind, one-on-one, on air negotiation. And, go meet some of the guys trying to pitch us these deals. We get pitched a lot of things, sponsorship deals, and, you know, we rarely get to meet people that are doing it. So it's kind of nice to meet them and see where they're coming from, see where their passion is.
Yeah. What do you know
about? It's a chance for me to be, you know, show my business side, be out there and show my fans a different side of me.
How well do you know Gronk?
You know, I don't know him that well. He was pretty funny on the show. Gronk was entertaining. So he made it fun to work. It was fun to work with.
Yeah. And so, and where can people see it again?
It's available on Verizon Go 90.
Uh-huh.
Starting October 9th. So already started. A new episode will debut every Monday and Wednesday.
Every Monday and Wednesday.
And Ariane Celeste is actually on the show, so I'm on for sure.
You're always involved, Chuck. Look at you.
Always doing something. Always having fun.
Yeah. Well, I greatly appreciate the time today. Any other athletes on the show that you want to give some love to that you enjoyed working with?
Well, Melvin Gordon and Patrick Peterson were on my show. They were cool guys. They all had interesting things to say and interesting insights into the promotions.
Chuck, appreciate the time today. Loved watching you. Phenomenal career. If you end up getting back in there, we'll be there. But you don't have anything left to prove, sir. You did it all.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah. And I don't feel like I have anything to prove.
Yeah. All right, Chuck. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Yep. Chuck Liddell. Hope you enjoyed the conversation. I certainly did. A lot of great stuff in there on his career and his start. And clearly his mom and his grandfather had a huge impact on him early. That was obvious. So a great conversation with Chuck. Appreciate him taking time today and appreciate you listening. This has been On the Market.